Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce you to Ian Taylor, who has been on several summits, and every time I'm just incredibly wowed by his presentation. So enjoy. Ian, why don't you just take it from here?
Thank you very, very much. It's good to be back. Last time I think I was struck down with some dentist issues and had to rush off to the dentist to get them taken care of, so it's good to be back and talking, and hopefully there's a few people out there listening and interested in some of the things I'm going to talk about. I suppose when I wrote down what I was going to talk about, I was kind of thinking about what was important to the journey that I've been on over the last 10 years. And I think the word that comes out the most through all the different projects that I've been involved in is vision. And then how, you know, what are the other words and things that are important? So I'm going to look at vision and what vision actually is through some of the journeys I've been on, and then how, you know, passion and preparation and teamwork and belief in projects actually makes a big difference. And I'm kind of looking at a project that we started in 2006. We built a school. It was in Kitandwe in Uganda with an Irish charity called Fields of Life. And Fields of Life have 113 schools now. They have 50,000 children in education. When they started, they had a vision of just bringing education to children. It's developed and grown, and their vision has changed over time, but that ethos is rings through in everything they do. We have a new project. I'm actually an ambassador now for the charity, and we have a new project to bring 1 million people clean water by 2020 in East Africa, so through Rwanda, Uganda, Burundi, Congo, and into northern Uganda, which has suffered greatly from dictators over the years. And the change that we've seen has been massive from looking at I went to Uganda in 2007 to visit this school project that we were challenged to build off the back of climbing Everest. And, you know, it was just a wattle shack. I think there was 80 children with no uniforms. And they had nothing. They had nothing in this village. But one thing they did have was a vision. And this vision drove their project. We happened to be able to raise funds for it, but that's neither here nor there. These people had this vision that, and it's looking at their logo right now at the school in Kitandwe. They renamed the school the Mount Everest Kitandwe Primary School in Uganda. But the vision that they had for their community, for their project, was today's actions brings tomorrow's success. And that's written on their logo. It's written in the school. It's something that they're projecting through everything that they do in the school. And in the last 6 years since the school has been built, after we raised the money, after climbing Everest, the school has grown from 80 students to 240. And it's growing all the time. They're number one in their district. We were able to drill a borehole and bring water to the whole community. They've got a kindergarten project since then. There is numerous child sponsorship programs going on where, you know, people pay, I think it's $30 a month, and the children get free food or get food every day. They get their uniforms paid for, and they get access to education, which is the key to success. But kind of going back to that word vision, you know, they have this mantra that today's actions brings tomorrow's success. And that's what's inspired me, and it's inspired this village, and inspired everything that we do and everything that I do now. And, you know, if we want to bring 1 million people clean water, we have to follow that mantra that today's actions brings tomorrow's success. I have a new project. Everest is not big enough anymore. And we're looking at crossing Antarctica to the South Pole on a new route, on a place that no one has ever been before, a feature film to be released hopefully worldwide, and raise $1 million to help schools in Gaza and rebuild schools in Gaza. Now, if you asked me 10 years ago, did I think all of that was going to be possible? I would say absolutely not. If you ask me today, I'd say it's going to be a challenge. Like all these challenges when people take on, whether it's business, I run my own business, so I have challenges there. The school has many challenges as they move forward in the future. The charity has massive challenges as they try and bring 1 million people clean water. And we're going to have massive challenges dealing with minus 30 Celsius in Antarctica for 50, 60 days and trying to manage that whole project and team to get it to the end goal and kind of finalize that vision. But I think that mantra of today's actions brings tomorrow's success is what we have to focus on. And I think a lot of time in companies and in the way we do business and the way we act, vision is kind of lost in the things that need to be done. And we forget about, that end goal. And I think it's so important because we have to start with that final goal, whatever it may be, to take us back through the steps and to get us to where we need to get to. You know, as I was saying in the beginning, that vision is at the forefront. But, if people aren't passionate about the project, is it going to happen? If we see teams and businesses, like when I go in speaking to companies and, they have a vision, but the employees aren't interested in that vision, then it's very, very hard to make it come about if they're not passionate about the project. So passion is a key ingredient. Vision has to be there, but if people are not passionate about what they're doing, it's never going to happen. And I think that's one thing I've realized over the last 10 years is that if I'm passionate about something, it's more likely to happen. You know, when we were climbing Everest to build a Mount Everest primary school, we had to overcome massive hurdles. You know, we're looking to stand at 29,000 feet above sea level at the highest point on the planet. I remember putting a T-shirt up in the Himalayas 2 years prior, listing out mountains and writing down these mountains that we climbed and then leaving a box with Everest on tick. And people were telling us that we weren't going to do it. 2 months before we were due to fly to the Himalayas, we were told that we weren't good enough for Everest. And our trip was cancelled and we had to revive our trip. Our ultimate vision was there to get to the top, but were we passionate enough about the project? Did we want to build a school? Did we want to raise the money? Did we want to climb Everest? Yes, we did. And we decided to, after those people, the guides canceled our trip, we decided after many struggles and, tears and things we had to get through, decided that we were good enough. We had put in all the preparation. We were motivated. We were passionate. We prepared. My resting heart rate was 100 and, my resting heart rate was 38 beats per minute. I was training sometimes 8 hours a day, and every other day training 3 hours a day while I was still working. So we were passionate, and we were focused, and we had done all the preparation, and we believed that we could do it. And we had the right team because myself and my climbing partner believed in what we were doing. And 4 months later, we went to Everest, and I was lucky enough to stand on the top of Everest because of all those elements. And I think that if we could have easily just taken the advice of somebody, that wasn't good advice at the time, but it was very critical when they said that we weren't good enough for it. And we could have taken that and said, yeah, maybe we haven't done the right preparation. Maybe we haven't got the right team. Do we believe it enough? I don't know. But we actually did. We wanted it that bad. We believed we had done all the work. We had done all the preparation. And we went on and climbed Everest. That school were hoping that we would do it because they were following that same vision that we had. You know, that today's actions brings tomorrow's success. We were living that out in our preparation, in our passion, in the team that we had. They had the right team because their team on the ground were working on, how are we going to build a school? What are we going to do with it when we get it? How are we going to develop the education system? How are we going to manage this whole project? And they had that vision from the very beginning, and they were implementing it step by step. because they were passionate about it. They wanted it for their community. They wanted to do these things. And we were doing exactly the same thing. We were pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing because we believed in it and we were passionate about it. So I suppose the key elements of all these projects and all learning was that, you know, if we have vision for a certain project, we need to have that. We need to have everyone to buy into it. You know, the charity, the work in the ground, they've, you know, grown since in 20 years to have 50,000 children in school. Was that what they initially wanted? They wanted people to be educated. Their passion, their persistence, their belief, and the team that they assembled were passionate about what they were doing and made it happen. And I think that's probably the biggest factor in any business, in anything we do. And once those key elements are there, then there's a real chance for success. Without any of those, it's going to make it a lot harder, make things longer, make things more of a struggle. And yes, there's going to be barriers. You know, when we were climbing Everest, we had 4 camps to get through. We had 72 days on the mountain. We had to struggle with our own fears. I was afraid of heights, and we had to cross, you know, the Khumbu Icefall, which killed 16 people last year. We had to cross 68-foot ladders. On the routes to Everest, there was a friend of ours, Scottish climber, who went blind. You know, we were battling all these things. While in the background for years, people telling us we weren't good enough. And I suppose that happens to all of us. We're told that we can't do this and we can't do that. But once again, as I think through the process, we had all those elements in play, as did the school in Uganda that we raised the money to build, as does the charity now with this water project, as do we, the team that we have for the South Pole. You know, yes, it's going to be minus 40 every day as we lead into the South Pole. Yes, it's uphill all the way to 10,000 feet. Yes, we have to raise $1 million for schools in Gaza to give those people a chance. Is it all possible for everybody? No, but I think when people have that vision and that passion and we put in the preparation and we have the right team, and we believe in it that much, we'll make it happen no matter what. And I think the more I look at the past and where I've come from, you know, I come from a small little town in Dublin, or just outside Dublin, called Leixlip, where and it's the original home of Guinness. You know, most of the people that I grew up with are still probably sitting there, while I sit in Eagle Vale in Colorado and get to ski and live a lifestyle that I want, and I get to travel all over the world. I head to Ireland next week, and then I head to Norway and back to the Himalayas for 2 months before going off to Africa to climb Kilimanjaro for the 19th time, and then back to the Himalayas before focusing in on the South Pole trip, which will hopefully happen in November 2016. So I think all these barriers are barriers that we can work around, and it's actually very simple. Like, I'm not anyone special. I wasn't given anything particularly great. As I said, I came from a small town where, you know, most people are still there drinking Guinness and doing what they do, and some of us decide to step out and just take these challenges on and decide that, you know what, when professionals tell us we aren't good enough, or people in school tell us we're not good enough, or in business or in work or in whatever we do, we actually are, and we have to just focus our attention on the things that actually matter. And when we do that, that's when we're going to see change. We're going to see change in everything that we do. I was lucky enough a few years ago to take on a project in Ireland to managed. They were losing money and they were almost on the verge of closing. And it was as simple as the steps that I just followed to manage the project. You know, we looked at all aspects of the business, but we looked at, you know, what were they doing right and what were they doing wrong? And what did we need to do and change that? We opened up 15 new revenue streams. They were 10% up when we left. That's the business. We built the right team. We built a team that were passionate, that actually understood the figures, understood the business, and wanted to take that forward, because they knew if they got involved, it was better for them, and they were going to see rewards off the back of it. So giving that information in this new vision and new business plan, and help people see where the place was going wrong, how we were going to turn it around, how we were going to get the funding, and we had to convince a lot of people to get behind it. And eventually we did. We opened up a whole new restaurant, which has won awards. We got rid of an old shabby one that was there. We had to rebuild, and we got rid of a play center and put in a multi-purpose hall, which could open it up to a range of different activities rather than just one. And we developed that business to develop. But the key element to it was that people bought into those ideals of vision, that they saw where the place was going and where it could go, and people, that motivated people to push to work and to kind of get past previous issues they might have had in the place. We brought in the right team, we got them prepared, so all those elements of their vision, passion, preparation, get the right team in and get them to believe in where it was going. And it was a struggle and a challenge, and it's not perfect, but it's better off than when I took hold of it. And I do the same in my own business, where I have to look at, we run trips all over the world, to the Himalayas, trekking to the Everest Base Camp, to Kilimanjaro, to Machu Picchu, to obviously working on these projects to Antarctica. And we run trips on 5 continents. So we have teams in Kathmandu, and we have teams in Africa, and we have teams in South America. And how do we get them to buy into our vision and how we operate, with more flexible acclimatization, going to altitude and preparing people properly, and not trying to cut corners, and have insurance for our staff, and have the things in place that are going to make us successful. And it's happening, and it's growing, and it's working. And it's the same things that we were doing 10 years ago when we were preparing to climb Everest, and we were preparing to raise the money to build a school. We were, you know, and the charity have all these plans to bring 1 million people clean water. It's the same ideals that get us to those places, whether it's speaking or driving a business or managing teams. If those elements are in play, that's what's going to be successful. I think I found out of a lot of the projects and startup companies that I've worked with, a lot of those elements are missing. Having the right people that are going to get you to the top of Everest, having the right people that are going to get you your company's margin and your bottom line to the place where it's supposed to be. If the company doesn't have that vision in place and then communicate it correctly to the right people and the team, it's going nowhere. And I think that's where a lot of people fail. And I think it's something that's a lot of the time overlooked. And it needs to be brought back into play to make projects successful. You know, when we're climbing Everest and we're pushing above 28,000 feet in that critical zone, that last 1,000 feet to the summit of Everest, where over 30 people have lost their lives from lack of oxygen, yes, we're taking risks. Yes, we've done a lot of preparation. But we've managed to get ourselves in that position because we had all the elements in play, especially with our team. Our trip was canceled, and we had to find a better team. And we, 2 of us were good climbers, and we hooked into a better team. We managed what we needed to do. We understood what had to be done. We understood the vision of the project. And my dog is barking. I'm going to keep on talking. So, you know, these elements were so important as we prepared. You know, we're climbing up the Hillary Step, where people have died. We're climbing up to the summit, where people have died on the summit, and we're pushing ourselves past that because we believe that we were prepared. We believed that every minute that we'd evaluated everything that could possibly go wrong, and there's probably about 100 things that can kill you, but our preparation and our understanding and our knowledge and our team and our belief and our evaluation of the situations at every minute while we were that high in the mountain helped us push past all those barriers and issues and climbers going blind and people dying on the mountain and people dying in tents next to us. We believed that our preparation was right, and we believed in what we were doing so much that we pushed through all those barriers and we were able to achieve. I stand on the top of Everest and I'm looking at a picture of me holding the charity's logo in the summit when it was minus 40. And what a moment to have, to be able to push through all the pain. You know, they say it's like being 100 years old climbing Everest. Your body is under severe pressure. People are dying around you. It's steep. It's hard. It's challenging. But we pushed through all that and came back to tell the story and to tick the box on that T-shirt in the Himalayas that we put up, to come back and open the school in Uganda 6 years ago and watch it flourish and watch it have water and more children coming to the school. And all these things were possible because of the vision we had. We wanted to climb Everest so bad. So we, as I said, we put all that training and preparation. We sacrificed so much. I moved in with my parents. I had to save every cent that I had to pay for the trip. We had teams out raising money for the schools, and we were getting teams buying into this project that if you're giving money, let's give it to something tangible that's actually going to help people. And people bought into that project, and we eventually raised, you know, 70,000 euro, which is almost it's not $100,000 anymore, as the dollar is so strong, but we were able to do it. And these, you know, I went back and filmed a series with a nonprofit from Wisconsin. So if anyone's interested in that video series, I can email it to them, and you can track the progress of what the school looked like before and what it is now and the work the charity are doing on the ground in Africa, which is growing and developing. And, you know, they're still buying into that vision. It's on their, as I said, it's on the crest of their uniform, that today's actions raise tomorrow's success. And it's amazing, we just went back again. I went back for the fourth time, and we have had groups raising money for different projects at the school. And to see all these children with, you know, they have food and water and an education and a chance. And, you know, all it takes is one of these children to come out of that school, maybe not climb Everest, but possibly, but, you know, live out their dream and live out their vision. Because that's what's at the core of who they are, and that's at the core of their village, and it's at the core of their teaching. And I think it's so important for us to just focus on those issues. If we're in business, or we're trying to develop a speaking career, or we're trying to help others develop projects, or you're trying to develop your business, if those elements are missing, there's going to be problems. And I think as I look at my own trekking business and speaking business, I have definitely challenges in the speaking side of it because I'm not getting enough speaking gigs. And that's more to do with my focus and the vision of what I'm actually doing. You know, my focus at the moment is on running successful treks and trips around the world, whether it's safaris in Africa to climbing Kilimanjaro, or trekking, bringing groups to Everest Base Camp. That's my focus, and that's the vision, and that's where I know my future is, and that's what my experience has led me to. And I think as I develop all these other aspects of what I do, I have to apply those same things. If I want to be a speaker and I want to speak at events, I have a few speaking events. I'm speaking in Ireland next week four times, but I've got possible speaking gigs in Colorado and Alabama coming up. What am I doing to to move that forward? And am I following that same mantra of every day taking another step to getting there? You know, am I following, do I have a vision for that? Do I have the passion to actually make it happen? Am I 150% committed to doing that? You know, have I done all the preparation? You know, when I was starting to speak, I was handing out flyers in different neighborhoods, renting halls. I must have done 100 speaking events before I, you know, got on 8 professional websites. So I've done a lot of the preparation, but I haven't pushed that forward. Have I got the right team? You know, with Tanya and the backing of the Public Speakers Association, absolutely. With other people that are working with me on events, yes, absolutely. But I have to have all those elements in place. I have to have the vision for where I want to take it. If I'm going to set a new route to the South Pole, is that worth something from a speaking perspective? If I'm leading the team on a place that no one's ever been on this new route in Antarctica, is that worth something? Do I have to? How do I manage that and package that to be able to speak better? Or is it not important? Is my trekking business the most important? Is the charity work that we do more important? And I think it's with all these elements, with vision, with passion, with preparation, with the right team, and that belief system, it's gonna. If I want to do it and I want to do whatever I want to do, those are the key elements that are going to get me there, because it's proven through and through in everything that I've been involved in, and I've seen the negative side of projects that don't have that. I think if we can apply those 5 elements to everything that we do, we're going to see success. And I think they're the key factors that I've seen that are making a difference in everything that I've seen and all the projects that I get involved in. The ones that aren't working don't have them, and the ones that are working do have them. So I only have 25 minutes, but I thank you for listening. I want to thank you for logging in, and thank you to the Public Speakers Association for having me on again. It's a privilege. If anyone is interested in the school and some videos and some projects, I have links. There's a lot of information also on our website if people want to get behind the school and the charity and what they do on the ground. There's you can get in touch with me at iantaylortrekking.com. That's TOREKKING. Or even just Google me, Ian Taylor Trekking, and our website will come up. Feel free to call me, get in touch. I am looking to push my speaking out to as many people as I can. So if anyone has any business events, keynote speaking events that they're interested in me speaking at, or at least talking to me about, just feel free to give me a call. I will give a discount up till the end of the year, 30% discount on my speaking fee. And if anyone's interested in trekking with me on Kilimanjaro in the Himalayas, we'll offer a $300 discount till the end of March for anyone that wants to sign up to one of our trips that are coming up before the end of this year. So I'd be delighted to hear from you. I'd love to talk more about the school and the charity and the projects that we work on. And if there's any sponsors out there that want to contribute to our South Pole project and help us raise $1 million for schools in Gaza, I'd love to hear from you too. So feel free to spread the word, and I'd love to talk to you at some point soon.